Welcome to Beyond the Boundary, Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
The calendar says October 30, but seriously, it could still be September 30. Has it really been 5 weeks since we did one of these?
Who are you? What's your name again?
Yeah, don't you start.
No. Has it been 5 weeks? Well, I'll tell you what, a lot's happened in 5 weeks.
Tomorrow is 5 weeks since the GFNL
final. Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
End of October. Clubs are back at North Shore are doing a pre-season.
Yeah, well, this is our pre-season.
Oh, I don't really want to be doing one.
This is our off-season.
Whose idea was it to do a podcast? And actually, do you know what? The listeners.
It wasn't me.
Do you know the amount of people who said, when are you doing another podcast?
Oh, really?
Because there's so much to talk about.
Well, that's what they do. They come to the award-winning.
North Shore are staying in the GFNL.
Well done to them.
Yes. Good to see North Shore are going to get 13s, 15s, 17s netball up.
Yep. Very good.
So that's going to be
interesting. That is very good. And under 18 footy.
Yes.
Yes.
Very hard.
Yes. So that's good to see.
Do you know much about their reserves coach?
Oh, Warren Bennett.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I don't know much of Warren's backstory.
He's been around Newtown for a long time. I think he coached juniors as well as the reserves there. And I think him and Bryce Basile and a few others who've been hanging around at Newtown but doing an awfully good job supporting, I think, Macca first and then obviously Stevie J.
Yep.
So very passionate about footy, and I'm sure he'll support Mark and everybody else out there. That'll be good.
The GDFNL fixture is out.
It is.
So the fixture...
October 30. It's very good, the rolling fixture.
Efficient.
Very efficient.
My understanding is the fixture that we've published is close to correct. There will be some tweaks.
Right.
Because Inverleigh have got 5 of their last 6 away.
Ooh. That's ugly.
Yeah. And there's a Belmont-Thompson game. So there's something happening at Winter Reserve. It's not on the ground, but it was going to impact their ability to play at home in first month.
Okay.
But they will play round 3 at home. The Play HQ fixture, I'm told, is wrong. And it's wrong because on Anzac Day, it doesn't have Inverleigh playing Bannockburn.
Oh, come on.
Which they are.
When Jesus played centre-half back for Nazareth, Inverleigh and Bannockburn played on Anzac Day. So come on, let's fix that up.
Bellarine toyed with starting on the last weekend of March.
Did they?
They're not.
Because there's been a change now with the GD Grand Final again, hasn't it?
It's gone back to the set
back to
2 weeks.
Normal. Yep. Yes.
The Bellarine Grand Final is going after.
Yep.
Because the Bellarine need 21 weeks.
Oh, that's right. They've got 43 teams now, so that's right. That's what's happening.
So it'll be a 20-round season.
Yep.
18 home and away games.
Mm-hmm.
But there will still be a league bye on the first weekend of July.
Right.
So two clubs will have a double bye.
Wow.
Yep.
Let's hope it's Torquay so they can go to the snow or something. Or, you know, like...
No, Ammos.
Ammos. Faz. Number 6. Yep. Number 5.
Yeah.
That'd be nice for them. Go up to the snow for a couple of weeks. Up to Buller.
Take the Range Rovers up.
Up to Buller.
We've got to let that go, don't we?
So those, no.
No, we don't. GFL Grand Final will again be on the Friday of AFL Grand Final.
Yes. Lock that in.
Yep. Lock that in. Or, well, the other thing... Hang on. Is the AFL Grand Final necessarily going to be on the last Saturday in September? Because they've got to factor in that NFL game.
Well, and also, weren't they always... Or weren't they? Not always. But they're talking about how the pre-finals bye versus the bye before the Grand Final versus whatever else goes on in the middle of the season,
So maybe it'll be Saturday. It might be Saturday, September 26th, the GFL. Watch this space.
All right, well, let's hold that. When's the AFL fixture out?
A couple of weeks. They're starting to do the little leaks.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Yes, I saw
old
that.
Old fixture leaks.
Yeah.
So we'll keep an eye on that.
Mm-hmm.
Right, some names.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Simpson.
Ooh. Ooh. Son of.
Yes.
Ooh. Former Geelong.
Yeah.
Where's he? Is he coming back to town?
Well, potentially.
Right.
We love the word potential.
Always good, potentially. Right. So, playing in Western Australia at the moment in Perth.
Yes. Been playing with Perth.
With Perth.
Yep.
Yes.
Gary Rowan. Not playing at Port Fairy next year.
No. I think that was well known, I think, for a long time.
Living in Ocean Grove.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Has he been training at Ocean Grove this year?
Maybe.
Oh, I think he might have been.
Yeah.
Right.
Keep an eye on that one.
Keep an eye on that one.
Jared Brander.
Oh.
Former Eagle and Giant.
Ooh, been playing it.
Was he at the Giants when Stevie J was on the coaching staff? And does Jared Brander have somebody he's connected with closely, also involved at Newtown and Chilwell?
Well, he's an old grammarian too, so he knows the area very nicely. Yeah. And yeah, that'd be nice for everybody.
Is Harry Benson coming home?
Is he? Is he really?
I'm just asking
You're
the question.
Asking? Well, I don't know. He'd be a handy acquisition. Is he a one-pointer?
Sure, he'd sneak into the midfield.
Sneak in. He might have to play on the wing.
Where's Andrew Bosley playing next year?
I don't know. Where is he playing? Well, is he playing at Anakin?
Well, I don't know.
I see Toby Manganelli has signed at the Ruse.
We are going to go through those comings and goings. Yes.
So, Bose maybe somewhere
well,
else?
Well, I don't know.
Right. Okay.
What have we got? Jack Skinner had surgery on his knee. That knee that he played with in the second half of the year was worse than first.
The Jack Skinner knee.
Yep.
Yes.
So, he's rehabbing that with Port Melbourne, and he won't train properly until New Year.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Circuit is again coaching South Colac after stepping down.
Oh, what happened there?
I don't know. Well,
he got reappointed.
He got reappointed.
Oh, okay. But well,
Adam,
there you go.
But Adam Donoghue is still going to Inverleigh.
No, he's going back.
Ed Curnow remains at Lawn because Ed Curnow had been linked to Torquay.
Really?
Yeah, would have had Ed Curnow and Travis Boak.
Stop it. Stop it. How many Boak are you going to play? It depends on the fixture,
we'll come down to the fixture. Port Arlington were given 43 points. My understanding is that they have challenged and will get 46 again.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's a bonus. That's nice.
Ned Osbrook is playing on.
Is he?
Yep. And there's a reason for that that will become apparent in the coming weeks.
Really?
Nathan Kenyon?
Is going to
Wycliffe Lake Bolac.
The old Lake Bolac.
Yep.
Yes. The home of the great Matty Hanrahan.
Ah.
Yes.
I think you'll find that's Breen country as well.
Yes. It is.
Yep.
Yes.
He'll
probably take a couple with him, I suspect, can I?
Bailey Ettridge is going all right at the University of Nevada. He's now on the Ray Guy watch list.
Really?
Which I think Tom Hornsey won a Ray Guy.
Originally, yes. Yeah. Wow. So, going all right, Bailey.
Yes, that's he's nice. Going all right. That's I haven't good. Heard much about how Wade McSparran's going at Southern Methodist or SMU. Well,
we should ask, shouldn't we, really?
Well, if his father replied to text messages.
Are they still overseas? They've been overseas for 23 weeks, haven't they?
They're back.
They're back.
What else have we got? Well, Trav Boak's a great story.
Absolutely. Like, he will be round one. Yep. He'll be in here, thank you.
Yep. The Betson brothers?
Yes.
What are they doing?
I don't know. What are they doing?
Well, it's Marupna's 150th anniversary next year.
Long way to travel.
Yeah.
Long way to travel.
And
Co-coaches now.
With James Gow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keelan Betson lost his mate.
Oh, I know.
Will's gone.
Little Reptile's gone.
Little Willow Dwyer's off to Imperial. Do they pay well up there, James?
We need a camera in the studio, somebody said to me last week, too, just to see
what
we're actually doing.
What our reactions
ching,
are.
Ching, ching, ching.
I got a statement from AFL Barwon as to it. So the GFNL and the Bellarine AGMs, November 26,
right.
Wednesday night, they're virtual.
Oh.
As opposed to being in person at Buckley's. The reason why they'll be virtual is because the AFL Barwon RGM is being delayed until Wednesday, 25 February 2026. And this is why. Statement from AFL Barwon, and I quote, sounding like Ross Stevenson talking about Debordley wines.
Hang on a minute. Am I Russ? Hang on. Joe.
This timing allows the organisation to complete its current governance review and ensure that any proposed constitutional changes can be presented in full to members. This approach will ensure the revised AFL Barwon model accurately reflects the collective needs of our regional football and netball community before the AGM is held.
There's
a lot of big words in there.
A lot of big words. What does that actually mean?
I don't know.
The layman.
Yeah.
Well, I think the Ballerine have been pushing for some type of extra sort of scenario around how
AFL
Barwon deals with the clubs.
Yeah, and how both the GFNL and the Ballerine are represented on the commish.
Yes.
I think there's a pushback for a bit more football, netball acumen as opposed.
Which is, you've got to have a good, I mean, it's a skills-based board, from a governance perspective, but it has to have footy and netball people on it. I mean, they're the ones that actually see the day-to-day too, or have been involved in the day-to-day. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Have any comings and goings caught your eye?
Well, I thought Henry Hawkers was an interesting one, going to Bannockburn.
I don't think Leopold are overly wrapped with that.
No.
With the support that they threw around him.
Yeah, and I mean, in terms, and we'll ask Sam when he comes on, but I think the thing for me is, losing the older blokes, you sort of understand, you sort of get, you know, they've been there, they've done that. But the younger boys, you want to try and keep them. And from what we saw of him, in a minimal capacity, he looked pretty good. Yeah. So he's going to be
kick three goals in a game against St Mary's.
He's going to be a handy acquisition out at the Tigers.
What about Chip going?
Ah, well, that's great, I reckon. That's fantastic. The Chip's going. So
Nick Connors
for everybody who doesn't know who Chip is, he's old man Chop. Yeah, going to Fremantle. He's been working with them for a while, and yeah, good to see him doing that and finishing off with a premiership.
Yeah, great to see Disco Driscoll back in local footy playing at Bannockburn, Scotty.
Wow. They're doing nicely in the recruiting front, aren't they, the Tigers?
Yeah, but they've lost a couple. Aidan Osborne and Perkins.
Yeah, Perkins to Bell Park.
But Broman back is.
Broman helps.
It's huge. Chopper Handley to Bell Post Hill.
Yes. Death taxes and a Handley at Bell Post Hill.
But not a one-pointer.
Because did he play... He didn't play juniors there.
No, he did Auskick there.
Oh, that's right. You too.
Buck back to Invalide. Zach Plant on the move.
Yes. He's assistant coach too, isn't he?
Yes, with... Yes.
Oh, the great man.
Daryl Bissett.
The great man. Heap. The great man.
Looking forward to seeing Jack Terrell, the former Supercat.
Yes. Is he playing at Winch?
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes. Very tall boy. That'll help.
Yeah. Werribee Central's have got a good recruit coming early next week, but I can't name him.
Why?
But he might have been
part... Why can't you?
But he might have been part of a Guess Who Don't Sue in an earlier episode.
Really?
Anglesey Dinger Bell, down to Anglesey.
Dinger. Kersh will be disappointed with Neil. He'll be very disappointed with that.
Brady Campy's a great get at Motta.
Absolutely is.
Oh, gee, Gravedale lost a few.
Lost a couple, haven't
they? What's Speedy doing?
Really?
Yeah.
Rumours? Thoughts?
We know Newcomb have picked up a few. Bo Adams is back. That's snuck under the radar. Port Arlington, you know.
Nathan. Trent Thompson's gone to Queenscliff?
Yes. That's with it. With the Rippon brothers.
Oh, yes. I saw that
Nick and Marshall Rippon.
Yes. He hasn't mucked around the old Heath.
Little K-Rock footy exclusive, that one. Nathan McHugh to Port's a very handy get.
Absolutely. He's a very good player. He is. Yep.
Keep an eye on a bloke called... have I put him on the list yet? Yes, I have. Mitch Jensen, former Footscray Bulldog, stepbrother of Andrew Welsh.
Really?
Yep, playing with Barwon Heads. Come from Wedderburn, kicked 60 goals this year at Wedderburn.
Barwon Heads are becoming the Werribee Centrals of our region. They just pick, they're getting blokes from some, like, did I see somewhere there's a bloke coming, was that the bloke you were talking about? His girlfriend plays A-grade netball at Barwon Heads already. There was one that you
That's Prout.
Oh, yeah, Prout. That's
Harry
right.
Prout. I think he, so.
They just get him from anywhere. So I'm Eastern guessing, District.
I'm guessing Izzy Armstrong must be Tim's.
Yeah, right.
At a guess. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong.
Get them from anywhere, though. That's good recruiting.
So, yeah, that's just some of the recruiting going on. Gee, the Grubbers have lost a few.
What about some of the coaches, junior coaches in town?
So, Scarlett at the 16s at Torquay.
Yeah.
Lingy at the 14s at St Mary's.
What's going on there? Yeah.
Well, coaching their boys.
Well, I mean, it's good gets. Yeah. Very good
so
gets.
So, Scarlett will be coaching his twin boys.
Yes, who can play.
And who are tall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They can play.
Yeah. Watch them running around in the hoops in...
They qualify for Father's Son, don't
they? I would have. Well, let's hope... So
how does that work? Yes.
Let's hope that still changing. Exists.
Oh, wow. But yeah, no, Lingy, good get too for St Mary's.
We need to talk to some guests.
Let's do that.
Trent Rogers is going to join us soon. Surf Coast Suns coach. They've been busy. Sam Hughes, new Leopold coach. And Adam Bell, new Karai coach next. But... Guess Who Don't Sue?
Whoops. Here we go.
Is a league medalist weighing up whether to play on in 2026?
Ooh.
Watch this space.
This is K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire. Quality equipment for hire and sales.
Let's kick this edition off GDFNL style with, well, we don't have too many coaching changes. I actually think, is this the only coaching change in the GDFNL?
I think so.
Yes.
Yes.
So Joel Bennett stood down
yep.
and replaced by co-coaches. So it's taken two men to replace Joel. But this man, Ross Gemmell is one of them, well known to local football followers. But this man has been on the bench just doing his apprenticeship under Joel and Darren in recent years. And he's been good enough to join us on Beyond the Boundary. Adam Bell, Bally, thanks for joining us on K-Rock Footy.
Thanks, boys. I appreciate you reaching out.
No, looking forward to pre-season, no doubt. When do your boys get underway?
We plan to kickstart November 17th, so it'll be a Monday night at 6 p.m.
All right. And the focus, because you have lost a little bit of experience, you've got some youngsters in, some talented youngsters in. Have you and Ross put your heads together and go, all right, how are we going to whip these boys into shape for round one, which will come around very quickly?
Yeah, definitely. Well, probably our biggest focus is our training standards. So that really has to start around night one of pre-season. So, and with a young group, obviously there's lots of learning as well. So I think both Ross and I's background is development. We play young players and older players, but I feel that's probably going to be a big focus, really teaching these boys how to play some football and the way we want to play them.
All right. For those who aren't au fait with the Adam Bell story, give us a little bit of your background and how you come to find yourself coaching out at the playground.
Well, for me, it's probably a different story to most coaches. I have I've been coaching for a long time, just a lot of juniors and stuff like that. But probably in 2021, my son passed away, and I probably looked at my life and like, you know what, I'm going to go out and try to achieve all the goals I want to set, and coaching was one of them big ones. So in the past 5 years, I've been in some good places like the grammar school, 1 year with Beeline, just learning off a lot of different coaches, and you know, done my credit level 2 and level 3 within 5 years as well. So I really wanted to set some big goals and hit them. And then probably this year, Daz reached out to me at the end of last year and gave me the opportunity to run the bench. And then from there, it's just taken off. It's a great place to be. It's really changed since I was last there maybe 15 years ago. And yeah, I love the boys and I love the challenge of it ahead.
The scenario with the co-coaches at the club, Adam, what was behind that and how do you think that's going to work for the Devils?
Well, I felt, for me, just being a new coach, and obviously I wanted someone beside me, and Ross was the same. So obviously with interviews, you sort of express that, and then having two coaches that want to have co-coaches is, you know, just aligned. So that's where myself and Ross caught up, and you know, felt like we could do the job together. We're completely different people, but we've got some very similar philosophy around football and the way we sort of teach, which probably stood out the most. But when it comes to game day and stuff, we probably haven't got that sorted as yet. But it's more just focusing on pre-season and both just working together. That's probably going to be the biggest thing. Is obviously with coaches, sometimes you can have egos and someone can take over and whatnot, but I think both of us are pretty good with what our ideas are and the way we sort of want things to run.
Teams and clubs change all the time, and obviously you're going to lose a few and you're going to bring a few in. From a recruiting perspective, is there, you had a discussion about what you think you might need and also where you're going to get them? I mean, it's a pretty competitive market, both locally and also, you know, if you go further afield. Have you identified what you might need in the short term to just be as competitive as you have been in recent years?
Yeah, definitely. I felt like we really need some leaders. We want guys that can come to training and set really good standards. So that's probably been a big focus, and a bit of height as well. I think we're probably the smallest team out there this year, so it's just a little bit more height help as well, especially around the ground. But the boys we've brought in, they're all obviously guys with great training standards, really, really good people that will fit in really well with the group we've got from there. And then I think with the height-wise, I think most of the boys are all over 6'5", all over 6 foot, besides one.
Yep.
So out of six recruits, there's your height, and that can go all around the ground.
And from a perspective of the league itself, it's such an even competition, has been for the last couple of years. It's probably not going to take much for you to be one of two things. Either you lose some close games or you win those close games, and it sets you up for, you know, possibly finals if you can just eke out as much as you can from the group and win those games across a pretty even competition.
Yeah, exactly. I honestly feel like the group we've got, they're ready to take off. They really are. They just, you know, maybe they just need a new voice. Maybe they needed to see some different training standards. But I'm really confident in what we've got. So just adding these boys here, it's just, and obviously, yeah, we've lost a few, but the guys that we've brought in can really make us, you know, really make us either jump up the ladder or be really competitive with all the teams.
You talked about height. Belly, can you tell us a bit about Nate Hargraves? Because I believe that is height.
Yeah, that's waiting to meet him in person. It's he's 6'10", Ripper, a really, really good young man. He missed out, he was almost playing Australian basketball under 17, but obviously COVID came along and sort of stopped that. And that sort of probably put him, he lost a little bit of confidence in basketball. So he sort of went to football, and he's going to be a bit of work, but what I've seen so far with the little sessions we've done with him, he's going to be a really handy player for us. Him and Greeny will be, you know, could be the number 1-2 ruck duo in the league.
I'm looking forward to seeing Nate Hargraves and Jack Terrell. 6'10".
Yeah,
that is tall. That is very tall.
He's only 19, so.
He's 19?
Yes, yeah. So there could be a little bit more growth there, hopefully. Oh,
wow. Whatever, no seven, yeah, 210, no somewhere around that. He'd be the tallest man at Cry since Stewie, wouldn't he?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. He's a mad mountain, but he's very competitive, which is what I love as well about him. And he wants to learn, like, pretty much. That's when we sat down with him. He just wants to get better as a person and as a player.
West Preston Lakeside's been good to you. Callum Gibson, Tom McMahon, Cooper Shoebridge. What can you tell us about that trio?
Yeah, look, these boys are really good. Like, guys that are going to set some really good training standards. Obviously, midfield, we've lost a few midfielders. Both these boys really love the GDFL. They're tough inside mids. Gibbo's more of a forward. Just his pressure is going to be unbelievable, but really good overhead. Well, he can take a really good mark. Where Tom and Cooper, they're bulls. They got really good skills. They run both ways at mids, which is, you know, something we really want to have. I think they're really going to set some standards within our group, and that's something I'm really excited about.
What about the man you replaced, Joel Bennett? We know he's had these issues with that back over the past 18 months. Are you just giving him some space, or have you had conversations with him about what his intentions are for 2026?
Joel's really excited. He's helping out with some younger boys. The role for him is just to get himself right. And when he gets himself right, he's just like a new recruit as well. I still believe he's one of the best in the league. Well, is the best in the league. Once he's up and running and, you know, works, gets that strength in his back, he's going to be just like a new recruit next year.
Just stick him in the square, Belly. Doesn't matter where just stick him in the square. He'll kick four or five for you every game. You know what that is?
Oh, mate, he can go anywhere. That's the thing about Joel. And, you know, he's open to do anything.
You're talking about development, you and Ross, and Cori have always had a rich vein of junior footballers right through for 30 years. So in terms of what your role and Ross's role is in terms of the junior section of the club as well, what's that look like, and how are you trying to create a bit of a pathway for those players to come through to the seniors?
Yeah, 100%. So the way the under-18s will train is, and the stand, I'm sorry, the game plan we sort of have in place will be the exactly same as the seniors. We're going to really get the under-18s to train with us over pre-season. And we're already working with a lot of the young boys now, just getting them to do some extra sessions with some other people. We want young kids to come and play at Cry, because I feel that's where we're going to get better over the next few years, is having that depth of the young boys coming in. We've got Jay, who came back from Geelong West, who's a big recruit for us. Like, not many people have talked about him, but he's a one-pointer, and he's played all his 5 years at Geelong West, but comes with some great strengths. He's a great leader. He's going to be, he's going to be another one that's going to be an awesome recruit.
Mm-hmm. So it's Jay Blackney, is that right?
Mm. Yeah, that's the one, Jay Blackney.
Yep, very good.
Ripper kid.
Belly, good luck. Congratulations on your appointment with you and Ross. Is it a 1 year straight up, or have you been appointed for a little bit longer?
Just a 1 year for now, and we'll go from there.
Yep, and you're putting in the hard yards at Derrimut's as well out there at Newcombe?
Yeah, mate, I'll see you there now. So now I've got to say good day to you. I'll watch you work your butt off too. Oh,
just make sure he doesn't dag around your Belly, that's all. Just make sure he keeps his distance and does what he needs to do.
Nah, he's working hard. I've watched him. I watched him yesterday. He's working hard.
All right, that's enough. That's enough. He wanted you to say that.
Checks in the mail.
Pick me up later. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, Belly. We appreciate you jumping on Beyond the Boundary.
Cheers, boys.
This is K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Now that we're in pre-season, or sort of in pre-season, we're off-season, we can now say that the Surf Coast Suns are...
They're playing. That's it. This is it. We're going.
April 4, 2026.
Right. He's so keen. Listen to him.
Trent Rogers has joined us. He's introduced himself. Hello, Trent.
How you going, guys? Good?
Yeah, good. Now, let's get the elephant in the room out of the way.
April 4, did you say?
Yeah. Oh,
yep.
Lovely.
Saturday, April 4. Easter Saturday.
Winning.
Four or five.
I was going to say that, Mike. Is that Easter?
Yep. Mm. Yeah, or 4 or 5, one of the two.
Yeah, whatever.
Close.
Yep.
Start of April, be ready.
Start of April.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. No. And my understanding is, so I'll tell you this for free, my understanding is that Surf Coast won't have the bye in round one.
Well, that would be silly, wouldn't it, really? Yep. But more importantly, I want to know when the derby's on.
Yes.
That's what I want to know when it is, because we're going to go bang.
But I've got to get the elephant room out of the way. So last week was the Surf Coast Suns golf day.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, did I see some publicity around that?
I got to play.
Did you?
Got to play.
Did you MC?
Yes, I did.
Oh, there you go.
So played with Bear Gleason, Kristen Gleason.
Yes. The great.
Played
the great.
With Bomaloudis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Legend.
Yeah, from Anglesey.
Yes, from Anglesey.
Good fella.
Yes.
And also Mike, that was the original president, who's also a bomber.
Right.
Because he follows Essendon as well.
Okay. That's unfortunate for
him. Yes, very unfortunate. I play with him. But Trent, do you want to let us know how your group went?
Well, we thought we were doing pretty well, and then you read out the scores and we came second last all the teams that handed them in.
He does that all the time, Trent. I played a few weeks ago and he was emceeing and we came third last, and he took great delight in making sure that everybody knew that we came third last, so he would have done the same to you as well,
because
that's what he does to his
mates. Yeah, we're actually quite surprised, to be honest. It's the first 18 holes I've ever played, and we thought we were going around like, well, I think we actually came in, whatever it is, we came in like on par. Is that how you call it?
Yes, yep. Yep,
and so we're thinking, like, you know, I've never played, so my handicap really should have been 60.
Yeah.
And apparently they gave me a 20, which is a joke. And we've ended up second last.
There's some cheaters in Amber. Did I say that out loud?
This was all above board last week.
Oh, yeah.
So good day. So well done to the Surf Coast Suns.
It was a great day.
Yeah, good.
Good. I've actually got another one tomorrow, by the way.
Oh,
back at the Sands.
Jesus, all right. I must have missed my Surf Coast Suns invite. I don't know where that went. I don't know. Anyway.
Can't help you there.
Okay.
All right. Let's get down to
right. Righto, let's go.
Trent, recruiting. You're just going whack, whack, whackity, whack. Last couple of weeks really, really taken off. This is starting to form the basis of that team that's going to run out in round one. Can you take us through the strategy between you and footy boss Brody Marston that you've employed for your recruiting and what you've been looking for, knowing you've got to play within the parameters of 60 points?
Yeah, so the starting point was, we knew we had that 15 to 20 of the 2025 under 18s crop coming through as 18 turning 19 next year. Like, so we knew we had a good number of young lads coming in. So we first point of call was, as to like our previous chat is, we went straight for some experience. So of course Aaron Black was great. Mitch Gaunt has played like 15, 20 years as a senior footy, plays a key position. So that was a couple of the first ones. And an old mate of mine who played a lot of VFL and EDFL footy, spent a couple of years at Ocean Grove, Luke Cartelli. Like, that was sort of the first three we pretty much got to get some real experience. From there, it was a sort of starting to put pieces of a puzzle together, I suppose. We started to get a bit of midfield depth, which was great, because the initial signing, or Scotty Hughes, is probably another one that I should have added to that list before, is like the forward line coach. So essentially, where we were lucky is we had a fullback, a full forward, and a centre half back straight up as experienced key position players. And then we sort of started to get a bit more youth and things like that to start to work through, like the midfield. So the midfield roles we started to fill pretty quickly, but we found that early on we probably recruited, not deliberately, but we just had three or four inside bulls land on our lap, all at a pretty good age as well, like the Flanagan brothers and Zach Warne and things like that. So from there, we just thought, all right, well, we've pretty much got a spine minus the centre-half back. We've now got some real grunts inside. So coming in as a first-year club, the first thing we thought to ourselves, well, no team's going to bully us like they think they will. So that was really important. I wanted, to be honest, to start off with, we wanted men. Yep. Who were ready just to do the grunt work and really set a standard from the get-go. And then from there, we thought we needed a bit of, like, we definitely need some speed, especially on a big ground like what Surf Coast have. So when we're able to get, like, you know, the likes of Tommy Stephen from Grovedale, and then Silver Youssef coming out of Euroa, and a few things like that just started to come together from that point. And now here we are, like, I think we're probably high 40s, maybe even 50 players on the list, which is great. We've got our senior assistant locked in earlier in the week, who I've known for like 20 years, Phil Smith. So, you know, going back a long time, he was an AFL rookie at Brisbane, played some VFL footy at Box Hill, Williamstown, Avondale Heights, team of the decade. And, you know, he's, you know, mid to late 30s, but he still runs 10K in sub 40 minutes and is 187, 188 centimetres as like an intercept defender and can play on the wing. So he's a huge addition as well. And it's really, to be honest, piece by piece has just gradually come together, which has been great. Like, some players have landed on our lap, others have had to work really hard for. At the moment, we're sort of where we are is we're just looking to probably find the hardest recruit of them all, and that's a real designated ruckman.
And they're not easy.
No, we just
not at all.
No, they don't fall from the sky, unfortunately, do they, Trent? So you're gonna have to do a bit of work there. And in terms of then, like, you know, you look at that list and where the players have come from. Gee whiz, I tell you what, you've gone far and wide. I know there's probably connections here and there, but it's going to be interesting to see how you can gel them together as a, you know, as the starting point, I suppose. But have you started pre-season? What's the scenario with when the boys start?
Yeah, that's a very good point. The most important thing is going to get the cohesion together for this group so they actually get to know each other. So we've already done three sessions. We did one session basically the first three weeks of October. We did one session a week, about 30 to 35 players at each one, which is great. This week, because we officially launch next Thursday, this week I'll put the responsibility on the players. I'm like, right, here's your program. Here's your footies. You need to get into clusters, and you're going to just put in the group, like our WhatsApp group, day, time, location, small groups clustered all over the week, spread out. And it's actually been really, like, worked really well. Like, a group of 12 got together at the club on Tuesday night. A couple of the lads that are based in Melbourne did a session together last night. I think we've got 8 running at Deakin, 6 o'clock tonight. We had a group of 5 who had an RDO on Monday who did it at the club at 11 a.m. The boys are coming together pretty quickly, which is really good. I think what's helped as well is sort of they've come in some clusters, to be honest. Mm. Like, you know, 4, 5, 6 lads that know each other here, there, and then all of a sudden one of them has a link to this person and that person, and things can come together pretty quickly, which is great. But the biggest thing now will be once we hit pre-season is having them not just get to know each other as people, but how each other play.
You got Hunter Gotchling a couple of weeks ago, who's played some VFL with the Cats and played very good Ovens of Murray footy with Wangaratta. Has he made his mind up yet, Trent, on regards to VFL next year, whether he'll just be a community football player or is he going to try and combine both?
I think he's definitely considering VFL. He's currently in Japan at the moment, having a few weeks off, which is obviously well-deserved, and we'll just, you know, give him that time to do his do what he wants to do, like, while he's over there. And I'm sure once he is back, between him and Aaron Black, they'll have a chat and he'll decide on what he wants to do, whether it's full-time with the Suns or if he does, you know, go into the Geelong system again. Either way, for us, it's a huge win, to be honest. We either get him full-time or, B, we've got a player that's in a VFL system, and whenever he comes back to us is going to be a huge get, to be fair, and, like, we'll have real benefit whenever we do see him.
And from a Blackie perspective, what's his availability going to be? It's just dependent, obviously, on the fixtures and for VFL and things like that with Geelong?
Correct. I think it'll definitely depend on the fixtures. I think one of the benefits will be, I think, Tuesday, Thursday nights are generally pretty good when it comes to the VFL system. So in terms of training and development, I think we'll actually get to see quite a lot of him, which is great, especially over pre-season. Like, a lot of clubs over pre-season have to go on Monday, Wednesday, Friday because of cricket. Yeah. We've been pretty lucky. We can go straight to a Tuesday, Thursday, which is going to help Blackie spend more time with the boys. And whether we get him for 10 or 15 games or every game next year, which, you know, every game might be unlikely with the fixture, of course, but again, whenever we've got him, it'd be great. And when we don't, it gives an opportunity to someone else.
How much work needs to be done on your facility, Trent, in terms of having it ready for senior footy and hosting a Ballarine game day?
That's actually a pretty good question. I know the club's doing, I'm pretty sure they're redoing the scoreboard. So like the electronic scoreboard and stuff will be done. I've been told that's going to be done before round one. Of course, one thing as a footy coach, of course, that's completely out of my control. But in terms of like rooms and stuff like that, like, yeah, the facilities there are really good. I think the plans that are in place, that where there's the potential of having the new setup put in between the two ovals, that will be like proper elite if it does come through. But at this point in time, like the setup we've got is great as it is, and the exciting thing is there's a potential to make it even better.
Yep. So you've got 5 months. So you counting it down in your head, or have you got milestones you want to hit through pre-season? How are you tackling that next 5 months?
At the moment, so like we'll probably get 10 more sessions in between now and Christmas, and then the boys all have already organised their first players function. That was one of the first things I got them to do. So they'll get together on November the 15th, and I think they're actually heading out to play some golf and having some lunch at the Torquay Hotel and stuff like that. So there'll be a lot of things pre-Christmas that's based on like a lot of touch work, a lot of skills, conditioning, and the players essentially getting to know each other. We've started to lock in a couple of practice matches come late February, early March. Now they know it's April 4th with kickoff, we'll probably get another one organised for mid-March as well. But in terms of how we sort of start to set up and how we want to play, a lot of that will be seeded this time of this side of Christmas. And then when we get back into it, like mid to late January, we'll start to put some real structures and things like that in place once we've got it a little bit more solidified on how we're actually going to look, and you know, the current squad of 45 to 50 turns to 55 to 60.
Yeah. Are you reaching out to any of the former coaches you either played under or coached under just for some guidance through all this?
Yeah, you do reach out to a couple. I still speak to the guys at Airport West quite a lot. Like, I've always had a pretty strong connection with the club there, which is great. And yeah, you definitely do. Like, you have a few conversations, and even through some of the members at work who have been, like, you know, pretty experienced in like the footy world and stuff like that. There's always a lot of talk and stuff with it. I'm pretty lucky that there's a lot of experienced heads around the club as well. A couple of which we're hoping will actually be able to formally, like, say that they are playing and stuff like that. We've got a couple of real experienced players who are pretty keen, have committed verbally, but not officially, so I don't want to like sort of name anyone yet. But in terms of experience just around the Surf Coast area, it's been pretty overwhelming on how much experience there actually is of people that have played all over the place but are now like living in Torquay.
And from the junior perspective, obviously the club has started that junior process over a number of years, and now you said some of the boys, how they hit the ground with the senior group.
Yeah, so they've actually been really good. Like, I reckon every night that we've had so far, there's probably been at least a dozen of those that are the lads that are either just 18 in exams or turning 18 sometime between now and the end of the year. So yeah, they've actually been really good, and to be honest, they've come out of their shell. A few of them come out of their shells pretty quickly as well. Some still to do so, which of course is absolutely natural and what you'd expect. You know, when you've grown up being the pioneers in the oldest age group, and all of a sudden you've got Mitch running around on the training track next to you, which is a little bit different. And then you've got some of the bigger bodies like the Flanagan boys and Zach Warne and stuff. It's very different to what they're used to. But they've slotted in really well, and it's going to be an exciting time for them. And especially like for us, I think the real exciting thing is, because the juniors have been there for pretty well 10 years, is the club's at a stage where now every year the luxury I've got as a senior coach is, if we keep this up with like a couple of under-16 sides and multiple under-18 side, there's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lads coming through at 18 every year that could be ready to play senior footy or pushing for senior footy.
We can't wait. It's a great story to follow, and no doubt we'll talk plenty of times, Trent, between now and April 4 when it all starts.
Can we talk to the Ballerine and AFL Barn about having Surf Coast on a day where we might be able to, you know, head on down there and broadcast them and, you know, like get some Surf Coast Suns hospitality?
The Saturday, April 4 is St. Joey's and Leopold at Lawn, which we're committed to.
Right, yes, of course.
So our best hope would maybe be that if they played on Good Friday.
Oh, there you go. We can just take the van down after that and off we go. We have a weekend away on the coast. Yeah, we like that. Yes.
How good is that?
Let's sort that out, Trent. We'll get that sorted out.
See what we can negotiate.
Yep. Done.
All right, we'll take that offline. But, Trent, appreciate your time. I'm sure there'll be plenty of BFT sessions for your boys over the summer.
Definitely, yeah, no doubt, especially while we've got that break where we're not officially training. You've got that 4 or 5 weeks the boys will, they'll definitely be in there getting some work done.
I appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
No worries at all, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
This is K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Well, it's fair to say there hasn't been a club under more of a microscope this off-season than Leopold.
In the classics, bit going on.
A lot going on. So, significant departures. Some at the back end of their careers, coaching roles, etc. Yep. Others, maybe just heading home. Harris Jennings, I'm looking at you.
Yes.
And then also, obviously, we had a co-coaching scenario. Luke Kelly, Sam Hughes. Luke has since stepped down at the start of October, and Sammy's now got the hot seat all to himself in his rookie year as coach of his beloved Leopold, and he's been good enough to join us on Beyond the Boundary. Sam, it's fair to say there's been a bit going on at Memorial Park.
Yes, thanks, James, for having me. Always a pleasure. The bit going on sentence has been quoted to me a little bit over the last few weeks. And yeah, there has been a bit going on, but my mindset has shifted, especially in the last fortnight to try and look past, I guess, the murkiness and the departures and everything that people are wanting to, I guess, raise with me and flag and look a bit beyond that and sort of try and control what we can control. But yeah, it's been sort of some turbulent, I guess, a bit of turbulence around the place, and yeah, starting to get some nice smooth flying conditions now, which is good.
Talk to us about, though, that, and you were part of that era for such a long time. The club's been up since 2014 when it played in its first GFNL Grand Final, lost to Colac, but you know, another Grand Final appearance in 2016. There's been a couple of minor premierships and obviously the flags are under Buddha. Is there a feeling that this cycle has come to an end in a way and that it's time for a reset and to go again?
Yeah, I was chatting to someone the other day about that and just looking back on our last decade and, you know, like if you look at it, it's, you know, along with other clubs in the region have sort of been around the mark and got some success and, it's a bit hard to see where we land next year. Obviously there's been some departures and whatnot, but, I don't want to put a ceiling on it or where we can get to or, if we're going to miss or finals or whatever it may be, I think it's going to be, and St Mary's are a really good example of that this year. You know, like a lot of people sort of put them outside the five and maybe missing finals and you know, they showed, you know, that if you're in the mix, and I guess Leopold has showed that the last two premierships that they won, like they weren't the minor premiers and they weren't on top of the table and they were able to do some damage come September. So I think if we can bounce and be able to develop our young blokes and with a few additions, you know, hopefully over the next period of time, you know, we get an opportunity to sort of compete and in a competition that's really even, really, you know, that those top seven teams and other teams that were below the seven this year are developing and getting stronger as well. So I think the comp's just, you know, which is great for the comp, getting really, really even and you know, if you're on and can win games in important times of the year, you know, come finals time, you can do some damage.
There's obviously been a lot discussed about the players leaving, but it's probably, we've got to be a bit careful because we probably did the same with St Mary's, as you said, Sam. There's still some quality players that you've got at Leopold with those juniors as well. If you could just get three or four recruits for what you might need in terms of, you know, players that have left the club, you're not going to be far away again. We're definitely not saying that you're going to be the slider like we did with St Mary's because that's left us with egg on our face this year. So, but it's really, I mean, we've got to be careful because the Marcus Thompsons and the those of the world that
Mitch
are still
Burgess.
Yeah, Mitch Burgess, you know, Billy Ritchie, you know, there's some good players there that have played in premierships. So you've still got a baseline of a good team.
Yeah, exactly. We've been pretty targeted with our recruiting. Like, obviously, we've had some departures in areas of the ground, but, you know, the midfield brigade, you know, with Box, Tommy Feely, Logs, who else?
Brockie,
you know, like, you know, that's some quality going there with our mids. But, you know, you look at Pup, you look at Burge, you look at Tate Porter, you know, that's a really good mix. You then throw in a Mace Williams that's just popped out of the Falcons, won his, you know, his best and fairest there. He had a quality year in our mids group at the Falcons. And we're looking at adding a little bit more depth there as well in terms of recruits. There's probably one or two quality mids if we can get that. And then at other ends of the ground, it's the same down back with Saucy, you know, Henry leaving down forward, you know, that leaves some open sort of spots there. And we look at adding maybe some depth there. But like you said, there's some talent within that we can start to develop some juniors. And the core of the group is certainly, you know, absolutely able to play at that level and compete and put us in good positions to win games and, you know, challenge the back end of the year. So yeah, it's certainly exciting and it's definitely not doom and gloom and you know, complete reset.
Yep. When do you want an answer out of Connor Giddings for what he's going to do next year? There's been the link with Portland. We understand other local clubs have come at him as well. Have you sort of said to him, mate, have you given him some time or have you said, mate, I need to know because if you're not going to be here, we need to work out how we fill your spot?
Yeah, Giddo's up in the air at the moment. He's essentially told us it's us or back home at Portland. So we've told him to, you know, have a think about that. He's got some things that he's working through from his end. I said to him, regardless, mate, we're going to go out and try and recruit you know, in that part of the ground, just to make sure that we're not left, you know, in the lurch and left, I guess, under-resourced down there. And he was fine with that. And he said it, as soon as he works out what he's doing, he'll let me know. And he's playing some footy up in Darwin and doing his thing up there again. So it's just a decision to go back home to his home club. And, you know, Harris obviously made that decision. And they want to get some success down there. We'll never ridicule blokes for doing that. It obviously hurts, but especially with those two. But he's just in a position at the moment where he's just waiting, and we're still doing our thing in the background to cover all bases.
Adam Enova from Tatura joins you, and I believe you'll get somebody else. The talk is it's out of the Hampton League, which has been very good to Leopold over the past 7 or 8 years. Somebody from South Warrnambool, can you confirm that you will land a fairly handy recruit from there?
Yeah, I can. So we're lucky to sign, and we signed him this week, Jed Henderson from South Warrnambool. We were chatting with Jed and his partner Holly. They were a bit of a package deal that we were really keen on, and we missed out on one recently, which, you know, we thought we were a chance of, and you know, that package decided to go elsewhere. But it sort of, you know, emphasised even more for us to get Jed and Holly on board. You know, Holly's a quality netballer, and we'll, and, you know, support our A-grade unit. And Jed's obviously a player that had a really good year at South and has connections at Leopold and come and trained a little bit when Buddha was around. And, you know, he's living in the area. So, yeah, he's going to add, he's going to add a bit for us and in different parts of the ground.
Can play. Good work. Well done, Sammy boy. Yeah. He can play footy. So that's what I mean. Like, you get two or three Hendersons, and then it's a totally different looking sort of scenario, because the thing I was going to say was that the good thing about the club this year was that I know they just missed the finals, but they were able to blood the Brislanes and the Lennon Johnsons and the Pasks and McLeans. Those sorts of, and the McLeans and that sort of thing, especially early doors in the season. So they got 10, 12, 15 games of footy as well. So, you know, like they're not a, you know, coming in for their first or second game in round one or two next year. They've already seen some senior exposure. So that's good too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, Luke was really passionate about that. And speaking with him even early on in the piece when I wasn't involved, he spoke, you know, to me about those boys and how impressed he was with them through that pre-season. And it showed with the, you know, with the opportunities that they got, that he gave them, they just took it and ran. Like, you know, even watching Darcy Brindley, I mean, I wasn't there at the ground, but just watching online in the Easter clash against Showies at the start of the year, I was like, you know, impressed of how much he's come on. You know, even he was a little tacker when I was around a few years back and a lot younger, but it was impressive to see him. And then, yeah, like you said, the Lennon Johnsons, both of those boys. Mm. And, you know, you got Lockie McLean and you got others that are just, you know, ready to take that. And they're just also keen. Like at the moment, they're just chomping at the bit to try and, you know, take their game to the next level and doing, you know, asking questions and wanting to do absolutely everything. So that's, I guess, I've got a bit of a taste of that this year at the Falcons, like that age group and that sort of, you know, those younger boys, they'll just do absolutely everything to improve and ask as many questions. So it's refreshing and it's going to be exciting to coach them and try and help develop their game.
Do you think it's helped you as a coach by spending that 12 months at the Falcons and seeing that from a development perspective as well, that you can, because you're going to have the Marcus Thompsons of the world, but you're also going to always have these blokes coming through and, you know, being able to develop them and make sure they play the way that you want them to play as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I really enjoyed it. I was weighing up whether I come, like there was an opportunity to come straight back to Leopold and help coach with Luke. Jesse reached out as an opportunity at Falcons, and I thought it was just going to be, you know, something different and nice to look at a talent pathways program and learn under Cora, Robbie Condy, and, you know, Matty Kershaw. There's a lot of, you know, Nate Murray, a lot of guys down there that have played a lot of footy and you know, were able to help me just with how I saw things and, you know, my sort of approach. And then obviously the clientele was a lot different to local footy as well. You know, the environment, the type of players you're working with, they're all in their draft year or nearly their draft year and wanting to play at a higher level. So, yeah, they're keen and eager, and sometimes, you know, you get a bit sick of the other stuff and the baggage that comes with coaching locally. And there it wasn't really an issue. They just wanted to learn. So for me, it was a really big learning curve, and I'll definitely take some things away from that, especially working with a really young group that I can use to my advantage, and not just my advantage, but the group's advantage and their development.
You're going okay then with Robbie Condy and Kyra until you mentioned Kirsch, Sam. Don't ever do that on this program again, thank you. That'd be great.
I was about to say I'll flick him a text after this and say I name dropped you.
Don't worry. He listens. He'll know that you've name dropped him. Don't worry.
And you know fine. He's a Sunday member at Leopold
yes,
too.
Yes, he is. Absolutely.
Always. Yes. Always a Sunday member.
Yes,
yeah,
he loves the Sundays.
I've heard.
Yes.
Yeah. So Adam Enova, Jed Henderson, any. You know, you're not going to probably drop anybody else.
Come on, tell
Henderson.
Us somebody else, Sam. But, come on.
Yeah, what, is there a specific you're still looking for
in terms of
yeah,
position?
There is. Yeah, there is. We're sort of, to be honest, it's probably a key forward that we're, it's probably that end of the ground. You know, we've got some flexibility down back. We've got some blokes that can, shift a little bit and flexibility-wise. But, with Giddo a bit up in the air, Henry Hawker moving on, does leave that sort of tall key. That, like I said, I don't want to be left reeling if Giddo does decide to go home. So we're just really looking in that part of the ground and to try and build our forward group around that. And there's a few that are on the hook, if you want to use that metaphor.
Nice. Husey, big job. But you are the man for the job. But I know you'll love doing it, being a Leopold boy and really sinking your teeth into the 2026 season. We're looking forward to it. It'll be here before we know it. And, of course, you're off. You'll get an early start on everybody else because you'll be off to Lawn on Easter Saturday, which I think is 2 weeks before the season actually officially starts.
Yes, yeah. It's been a part of the planning, actually, with a bit of sort of pre-season and what we're thinking. And, yeah, obviously early Easter in April than what it is normally. So, that'll be exciting. It's obviously a game that we're excited to be a part of, and like I said, it'll be cracky games through March and maybe a bit of a breather before that game. But every bloke on the list at the moment is ready to go, and I'm sort of trying to calm a few down just to have a break and refresh and reset and get ourselves prepped for it is a pretty long campaign over November, December, January, February, March, so it's just got to build and build at a nice rate.
Absolutely. Husey, good luck. Appreciate you taking the time to join us on Beyond the Boundary, and look forward to talking to you throughout season 2026.
Yeah, good on you, fellas. I appreciate the support, and looking forward to chats throughout the year. Good work.
This is K-Rock Football's Beyond the Boundary. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
It's rare we've done a podcast with three first-year coaches.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Quality too.
Yes.
Quality.
Yep.
In the off-season, good stuff. They're going to be all good.
All three clubs in good hands.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, what happens is a lot of people sometimes don't listen to the full interviews. Because we tell them where we're the time.
Yes, that's right, you do.
So
yes.
This is the second news wrap. And in this second news wrap, if you've just come to this, well, you'll hear from us now that Jed Henderson, who's a gun at South Warrnambool, he's going to play at Leopold.
That's a great get.
So you're a bit more au fait with the Hampton than me.
Well, only because I know a few people down there in bits and pieces. But, it's North Warrnambool and South Warrnambool have been the gun clubs down there. Warrnambool and Koroit have been the other two around. But South Warrnambool have had a great tradition of finding great midfielders from their juniors. And he is one of them. And North Warrnambool finally won it this year, the Hampton League, after five attempts. So Nathan Vardy and Mickey Barlow. And he had a Motlop playing down there and a few other bits and pieces.
Tough year for Mickey Barlow too, because he lost Dad, Herb.
Yes.
Passed away.
Is he coaching the mids or something at North next year, Mickey?
Oh, potentially. I haven't seen that.
I think he is, yeah.
So, I hope he coaches an AFL team.
Yeah, so I think K-Rock he's been zone. Moved up K-Rock zone. Hasn't got any more time for us anymore. He's too busy.
Yeah.
But won't be playing too much. But yeah, now good get from Leopold, and that's what they need. They get three or four Jed Hendersons, they are going to be right in the mix again.
Hamish Sinnott from Camperdown to South Barwon is a very good get.
Can play too. Yes, very good get.
Joey Chaplin's a loss at Joey's.
Yeah, that's not. Yeah, I saw that going back to Perth. Yeah, that's not good. No, he was good for them this
back
year.
The following year is my understanding. He's gone for a year. It's been year on, year off.
FIFO. Yeah. FIFO footballer.
So he'll be back in 2026.
Yeah, right.
Seven,
okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And Sam Azai the signing at St Mary's,
yeah.
who will be...
Werribee.
Yes.
Yes.
Aligned.
Yep.
My understanding is that he might be quasi-son-in-law of Luke Rayner. My understanding, he dates Luke's daughter.
Really?
Yes.
How you move in these towns. It's not what you know, it's who you know. That's the way it is.
St Albans have been busy.
They have.
Very busy.
Yes, they've been very busy.
Picked
up a few.
Yes, this Ethan Mantis.
Yes, I believe he might be able to kick a 42.
If his nickname's not praying.
Yeah. Seriously. We're just going to call him it anyway, yeah. even if it is not.
Yes. Sam Donegan's going to Werribee.
Is he really?
Yes.
Yes, because they're the no longer. Oh, that's good. So that's good for him.
And some whisper of a Jenqual Munn, who will call Aniki his interchange club, may also be at Werribee.
At the Bees.
Mm.
Very nice.
So that's handy good. There.
That's good.
Cooper Langan's back in the comp. I thought Cooper Langan had a really good year in 2022 at North Shore.
He did. He did. Back at Lara.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's good. That's a handy pickup for them.
Lara. Yeah. Grovedale lost a couple. Yeah.
They have.
Yes. And, yeah. Campy and McHugh hurt. So it's, well, these are sent up back and fullback.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hard to find good quality big defenders too.
Tyler Norton's a very good pickup for Bell Park from Wangaratta, Geelong VFL.
Yep.
Good. And Ollie Bridgewater will be back.
Finally.
Yes.
The greatest water runner, the water boy in living memory, Ollie Bridgewater.
Other than Travis Robertson during the 2024 finals series.
Stop it. The great Robertson. Stop it. He's in Mali at the moment. He'll be listening.
Anything else?
No. It's been comprehensive so far. Yes. How's this for the off season?
Yeah.
Whoa, take a breath.
Are you invoicing?
This might be. We'll see how we go. We'll see what's happening. We have to do a Christmas one, don't we?
Yeah, we'll do one between now and Christmas.
Yeah, there'll be lots. Jeez, it's been busy.
Thanks to Curse High for their support through the year.
Always.
There'll be another AFLW Cat Attack podcast with Michaela Bowen next week to wrap the season up.
Good.
And AFLW action Saturday night from 6:30 on krockfootball.live in the AFL app.
How was the swimming pool on Sunday? Was it good?
It was unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it, and I never want to see anything like it again.
That was Beyond the Boundary, a K-Rock podcast for footy freaks. Love all things footy. Head to krockfootball.com.au and we'll catch you next time.